place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here this morning. Father, we lift up those that are sick, those that are hurting this morning, those that are traveling, that your hand would be upon them. But Father, I pray for each and every person in this room, Lord, that we would hear from you personally this morning. It wouldn't just be another sermon, just another message, but that you would speak to our hearts, to each and every one of us this morning. May your will be done now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you would, open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And the message today is about faith. And I've kind of been struggling in my heart and my mind last week or so. And this message, and I can't remember if it was Tuesday night or Wednesday night, I couldn't sleep, and I just kept praying, and this is a very personal message for me this morning, on my relationship with my Heavenly Father and where I lack. But hopefully the Lord will speak to each one of you this morning about your faith also. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." So that's a familiar text, right? Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Do we believe that Jesus came to this earth and died on a cross for our sins? Do we believe that heaven exists, that God exist? We can't see that, but we believe. I think everybody in this room would believe that. But when you get a little bit more into the faith of being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, and what my heart has been struggling with, and where my mind has been going, is do I really believe for my life what this word says? Does that make sense? Do I really believe what this word says? Can I apply it to my life and see it come to pass? Verse 3, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering, and by faith he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." I think that's key, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith is not just something that you just believe and you sit. And I believe faith in action. That's not the message this morning. We would be in James, and I've talked about that, I think, in recent months with James and the works of faith. And there's evidence by what you live, by what you do. But I believe that's a key component of all this, is it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and know that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And I think in my struggle, it's because I hadn't earnestly been seeking the Lord. I mean, it's not God's fault. It's my fault. When I waver, when I stumble, when I fall, when I rebel, When I don't hear God's voice, when I'm walking in disobedience, who's at fault? It's me. And it's that I've not been earnestly seeking him. And when I think about that, and I think about how many times in my life, as the failure comes from just relaxing, from just taking vacation, from just taking life easy, And all at once, I'm drifting, and I don't even realize it. And then all at once, there's a temptation there, and here I go. And how did I even allow that temptation into my life and for it to sit there and fester? That all at once, then I'm walking in sin, and I'm walking in disobedience, and it all almost always began with me just relaxing and taking life easy instead of earnestly seeking the Lord. We think it won't happen. We think we're built up. We think we're strong enough. But I believe for my life that I need to make it a priority every day to earnestly seek God. Because when I don't, I stumble and I fall. By faith, Noah, when he worried about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. I don't know, y'all, but I can't say that I have that type of faith to just pack up my bags and leave. And have enough confidence and faith in knowing that my Father is directing me, that I quit my job, I sell my house, and I load up and I leave and I go, or that I don't know if I'm there. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and as he, as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. That was the part that I really wanted to get to. Because I think that with us, with me, that we want to see the immediate of faith. We want to have the faith and it happen. But look at Noah building that ark. How long it took him to build the ark. Look at Abraham was promised and he didn't waver. He didn't, he believed, and it says he was as good as dead. 100 years old or so. And still had not had the promise come to pass. And I think for many of us, when we don't see the immediate, then all at once our faith wavers and we say, well, maybe we didn't hear God right. Maybe, you know, this really isn't God's plan. But they were commended because they didn't give up. They didn't doubt. And as we're approaching this new year, and I wonder how many of you have had something that God has revealed to you through Scripture, that God has spoken into your heart, and you haven't seen it come to pass, and maybe you've given up. Maybe you say, well, I guess it's just not in the cards for me. Maybe I didn't hear from God right. Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe this wasn't what God was speaking to me. Does it feel like your hopes, your dreams, your prayers have not come to pass? And that maybe this new year you're just thinking, well, it's going to be just another year. Same old, nothing new. Maybe you're stuck in Ecclesiastes and everything is meaningless and you just think, well, another year's come and gone and what's really happened? I'm still having the same old struggles. I'm still falling to the same temptations. I'm just nothing ever changes in this world. There's still hate. There's still crime. Every news channel, they're fighting about this policy or that policy, and nothing ever really changes. Nobody at work likes me, and I've invited them to church, and nobody's ever come. I don't know where you're at, and I even question God, where am I at? I think we can get caught up and we lose sight of what God wants to do with our lives, and we've lost the hope of the things that we can't see, the hope that something is yet coming, that God still has a purpose. We've talked about purpose for 3 or 4 weeks. We're going to go back to Numbers 13 now. Numbers 13, verse 26. Maybe the hope is that you guys, for me, that I'll start giving Amanda the scriptures again so they'll be up on the board again, huh? We used to do that. Numbers 13, 26, it says, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at the Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. You see, what they were reporting was all the good, but what else? They was also putting a little bit of doubt in there, a little bit of seed. It's the fortified cities and these people that live there. It's already occupied. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." I wonder, in my heart, in my mind, would I be the Caleb? "We can certainly do it." Or would I be looking at the people? Would I be looking at the walls? Would I be looking at all the negative? And I'd have doubt. What kind of person are you? Are you a positive person or are you a negative person? Do you look at the bad or do you look at the good? See, I must confess, I'm usually more negative. I'm usually looking more at the bad than I am the good, and I try not to be that way. And I even can confess the good on the outside, but on the inside, it's usually what's wrong. You know, I've read it. It was years ago. But it's something like, for a bad comment, it takes like 90-something good comments to make up for one bad. It's been so many years ago, but it was an extreme difference. And you guys think about it. If someone encourages you some way or says something nice about you, you know, there might be a special time that you remember it. But most of the time, you know, but if somebody says something negative about your work or about you or about your family, does it not stick? And usually that one complaint, that one bad thing will stick with us for years, way more than just the positive. And the negative was there, but here Caleb was saying, "Look, we can surely go up and take possession. We can." Verse 31, "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilims there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them.'" What were they saying? "They're giants! We can't do this." And they spread a bad report. And when I read this, and as I was praying the other night, and I was thinking about my own struggles on the inside and the things that I'm struggling with, and 2 Timothy 3:5 came to mind, "Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them." And when I think about that, having a form of godliness, but denying the power, is what were these people doing? They were denying the power of God. And what do so many of us do today? We deny the power of God, of deliverance, of fulfilling what He spoke to us in our prayers, and as we've studied the Scriptures to see the promise come to pass. We become a faithless people, denying the power of God. church that the power of God can change us, the power of God can transform us. And these people in your life that say you can't and you'll never, and who are you to think that God could use you or do something with you? And maybe it's in your heart and in your mind that you prayed for something so long and so long and so long and you've not seen it come to pass, and no longer do you believe. I want to be careful here because I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying, okay? If you prayed for $1 million for the last 10 years and you still hadn't got it, and you're going to continue to pray for $1 million, that's not what I'm talking about, okay? Because it's not 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. See, it has to be according to our Father's will that He hears us. But church, what I want to ask you in your life and in your struggles, have you prayed? And have you opened up the Word of God and sought out Scripture for what you're struggling with, for what you're dealing with? Because see, that's where our faith can come in. Is aligning our word, our life with God's Word, and then standing on those promises that what God says will come to pass, that we can see it come to pass. Because there's power in God's Word. There's power in knowing that the Holy Spirit's working through us. But I think for some of us, we're so caught up in the negative, in the faithlessness, that we have the same old struggles year after year. We have the same old doubts year after year. And God can't use us the way that He would like to because we're stuck in unbelief and doubt. You know, there's been times in my life that I've struggled with sin, and I've prayed and I've looked up Scripture, and I've even put it on pieces of paper, and we've even taken Scriptures and put it on a refrigerator and put it on our mirror, so when we're brushing our teeth in the morning or I can't say combing my hair or shaving or whatever, you know, we see these Scriptures and to get God's Word into our life. But you know what happens is over the year the stickiness falls, or we tear it down, or we've looked at it so many times we look through it and we don't even look at it anymore. And then what happens? We forget. We forget what God's even promised to do for us. A verse that kept coming to my mind: if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. But how many of us are truly free this morning? And if we're not truly free, then whose fault is it? It's not God's fault, it's our fault. Have we been praying? Have we been searching the Scriptures? Do we believe? Or have we been just like all these people here that are saying, we can't do anything with this? They're giants. Chapter 14, verse 1, that night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in the desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. You know, when I read this and I hear the fear, and even they're going to take our wives and children as plunder, and these huge fears. And that's what Satan wants to do to us today. Put fear into our life. Put fear into our mind. Well, you know what? If you take a stand, if you do this for the Lord, and then all at once, what's Satan doing? He's whispering all the things that could go wrong. And not just the things that could go wrong, but our worst fears. They may fire you. They may kick you out. You may not be invited back to the family Christmas. Whatever it is, that these fears come pouring in us. Verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid." Y'all, that's a message for you and for me today. The Lord is with us. Let's stop being afraid. Let's start standing on the promises of God. Let's start marching forward as an army of God and do what He's called us to do and live the life that He's called us to live. And quit being so scared. Quit being so worried about the consequences of your action when you're following the Lord. I told y'all, it's probably been 2 years ago that I'd ran into a friend that I hadn't seen in years. I didn't even know him anymore, and he remembered me, and he spoke to me, and last I'd heard he was strung out on drugs and had walked away from the faith, and he told me, "Pete, I've given my life to the Lord, and I'm a changed man," and he starts telling me all about his life, and he was the one that was living with his girlfriend. And the Lord said, "You need to stop." And He told her, "I can't live with you anymore. We either got to get married or separate." She agreed to marry him. And then right before they were about to get married, they had kids together. What happened? She bailed. She said, "No, I don't want to do this." And he's all alone now. And he said he felt like the Lord was going to what said to him, "So are you going to leave me too?" Because he'd already done that once in his life when he was a young man. When his life fell apart and he went back to the drugs, he went back to the world, and he prayed and he said, "Lord, I'm not going to leave you. It doesn't matter what happens." And as far as I know, he's still living for the Lord today. Y'all, you might say, "That's extreme. That's crazy. They had kids together, common law marriage or whatever." But he was following what the voice of God had told him to do. And then there was consequences. But he didn't fear the consequences. He walked in obedience more than he feared the consequences. Y'all, are we a people that believe no matter what the consequences, no matter how big the giant is? But verse 10, "But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meetings to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe me in spite of all the miraculous signs I've performed among them?'" And when I read this and I thought of all the things God's done for me, why do I still doubt? All the changes that I've seen in my life, all the miracles that we've seen, and we don't even remember a lot of the things that God has done for us. And then we waver, then we doubt. Verse 19. "In accordance with your great love, forgive the sins of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they have left Egypt until now." I kind of skipped over the God's anger and everything with the people. "The Lord replied, 'I have forgiven them as you have asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of the men who saw the glory and the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the desert, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever enter the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." Are you a Caleb this morning? Are you someone that believes no matter what everybody else is saying, no matter what, the negative, no matter the circumstances, do you believe, do you trust God? Y'all, too many times in my life, I fall back. Too many times in my life, I forget or I ignore that God's power is available to me for deliverance, for strength, for courage. That God's power is available for me, that in the testing of trials and circumstances in my life and problems at home and at work and things that I worry about. Y'all, it's hard sometimes to really apply this to our everyday living. I hate to go into great detail, so I hope you guys are getting this, but like, things that I allow to grab me and consume me, instead of just believing that God has a plan, God has a purpose, if we'll follow Him, we'll see it come to pass. Not abandon ship, not give up just because it's not done in a timely manner, just because it's not done in the way that we like it, but believe and trust that God has a purpose, that God has a plan. I'm going to jump down a little bit, but verse 34, for 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days you explored the land, you will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you. So for 40 years, they were going to wander in the desert. For 40 years, they were not, the men were not going to go up into the promised land. Maybe it feels like it's been 40 years for you. Maybe it feels like, well, I've been praying for this my whole life. Maybe you know, you feel like you've been seeking the Lord. Don't give up if it's something that God has spoke to you. If it's something that God has shown you through His Word, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't be like the Israelites that said, I want to go back. I want to go back to what's comfortable. I want to go back to slavery, back to bondage. You know, sometimes in our life we look at the good old days and they become this wonderful old, you know, story. But we don't forget all the struggles in the good old days. I was thinking about high school the other day. Me and Hayden was cleaning out the shed and doing some different stuff, putting up our Christmas boxes, and I come across this keepsake box, and I don't even know why I keep keepsakes, because I told him, I said, someday when me and your mom's dead, you guys are just going to go, oh yeah, isn't that nice, and you're going to chunk it. But a rat had got in and ate up one of my old report cards. Good. And you know how I knew it was my report card, not Crystal? Because I saw some C's in there. but I'm looking at this stuff, and it just made me think of high school. And I'm seeing, I had a thing with all my classmates' senior pictures, and I'm looking at all that, and I'm remembering my senior year and all that, and all these nice memories. But then I stopped and I remembered the term papers and I remembered the homework and I remembered the way the teachers treated you like you were a little kid and I wanted to be a grown up and I remembered all that. I don't want to go back to high school. Not at all. But y'all, sometimes we look back and the Israelites were saying, let's get a new leader and go back. And I think sometimes in our life when the walk with our Heavenly Father gets tough, when there's trials, when there's struggles, and we say, you know what, I remember those days when we slept in on Sunday mornings and we partied all night and we had all those friends come over. And boy, remember the good times and all the things that we used to do. But we forget about the hangovers. We forget about our head being in the toilet and we can't walk. And we forget about hurting people and we forget about the fights and we forget about... Because that's what Satan wants to do, is he wants to pull you back into that old garbage pit. But y'all, as this new year's coming, I want us to be like Caleb. And even if you've been praying for something for 40 years, in Joshua 14:11, this is Caleb. He says, I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. 85 years old. Do we have just one person here this morning in their 80s? Just one? Now, I hate to use Ruthie as an example because Ruthie has a lot of energy and a lot of vigor. I saw her at a birthday party in a bounce around last year, and I pray that when I'm in my 80s, I can get in a bounce around, and she's hang gliding or whatever, not hang gliding, at Hawaii, you know, doing all these things in her 80s. And praise God, she's in great shape for her 80s. But I was thinking he's 45 and he says, I'm just as vigorous and ready to go out and fight at 45 as I am at 80. And I'm 85 and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm 44 and I don't even want to go out and fight. I can't imagine when I'm 85 what it's going to be like. Did y'all hear that? Or is that just me? Something just went through my head. Y'all, don't give up. If you've been failing, if you've been falling, if you've stumbled this last week, this last month, this last year, if the same sin keeps grabbing hold of you and grabbing you, if the same doubts, if the same fear, if that promise you felt like God has promised you, it feels like it's been a lifetime and you haven't seen it come to pass, I encourage you to get down on your knees, to open up your Bibles, to pray, to seek out the Scripture and to apply that Scripture to your life and have faith that the things that are unseen, we know exist, and the things, the promises that's been spoken to our heart, even though we haven't seen them come to pass, does not mean that we won't see them in our lifetime. It's in God's lifetime. It's in God is what? He lives forever. There's no beginning, there's no end. And I'm going to end with these scriptures right here, Isaiah 40:28. Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Are you weary? Are you weak this morning? Are you tired from the holidays? Are you tired from just another year of the same old, same old? Verse 30, even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope in the Lord will renew their strength, they will soar on wings like eagles, they will run and not grow weary, they will walk and not be faint. Is your hope in the Lord this morning, or is it in your strength? Is it in your might? See, my hope needs to be upon the Lord and what He can do, what His power can do. Not what I can do, not by my strength, but what the Lord can do through me. And I need to stop doubting and start believing. I need to start believing that there's power that can live in me, that if the Son has set me free, I'm free indeed. And there's power that can live in me like no power on this earth. There's a transforming power. There's a renewing power. God wants to use you this year. God wants to deliver you this year. God wants to see what He's spoken to you in the quiet places in your life come to pass. Do we believe? Do we have faith? Only you can answer that. You can say, you can shout amen, be nice once in a while for a little shout amen, you know. You can shout amen, you can be all excited on the outside, but in your heart, I've given up on that. I've given up on that. I'm just an old sinner and that's all I'm ever going to be. No, you're not. There's power. There's power offered to you and to me in the man and the woman that you once were, that in Christ now we're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And maybe you've been sitting here for 60 years and you feel like I'm still that old person. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that you can change. And this can be a different year. It can be a different life. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. And I thank You for the conviction in my life, Lord, of what You've been showing me at home. Father, I pray for forgiveness for my unbelief. I pray for forgiveness of each and every one of our unbelief in this room, Lord, when we've doubted, when we've turned back, when we've not believed that Your power is there for deliverance, that Your power is there to see the things come to pass that You've spoken into our hearts. Father, I pray that each one of us would examine our own lives this morning and look to see, have we been walking in faith or are we full of fear? Have we been walking in faith or are we full of doubt? Lord, when the giants are in front of us and the walls seem so tall, do we shrink back? Or Father, do we grab hold of You with everything that's in us and believe? Lord, may we not get in any hurry. Just as Noah, just as Abraham, just as Caleb, all had to wait to see their lives and the purpose You had for them fulfilled. Lord, maybe we need to just wait this morning. But Lord, may we not grow weary and weak, but may our strength be renewed. And we have a new sense of purpose and a new sense of direction. Holy Spirit, have Your way now. Have Your way. In Jesus' mighty name.
Caught up in Your presence, I just want to sit here at Your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I just want to sit here at Your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. Never want to leave.
There was a guy that used to come here 20 years ago, probably. And he'd smoked his whole life. And he just bought a new pack of cigarettes. And I guess he'd been praying for God to deliver him from cigarettes. And he was driving down the road, and the Lord said, I want you to throw that pack of cigarettes out the window. He said he was going, but Lord, I just bought this pack. And he said he felt like the Lord said, just throw it out the window. Crumple it up and throw it out the window. And he did it. And he told me, he said, Pete, the desire to smoke left me just like that. Said, I didn't want to smoke anymore, and he didn't smoke. But you know what's sad is I saw him years later. He quit coming to this church, and I saw him years later, and I saw him smoking. I said, what are you doing? Well, and he started saying everything that had gone wrong in his life, sickness and family, death. And he said, I went back, and I'm hooked again. Y'all, that's what Satan wants to do. When the Lord sets you free, you're free indeed. But then when times get tough and you face them trials, and what happens? Satan dangles an old memory. Remember how good those cigarettes used to be? Remember how good this used to be? And then all at once you go back and you're back entangled in it again. I'm not trying to bring you down. I'm just telling you what happens in our lives. This happened to me with different things in my life where I've gone back, where the Lord set me free and I've gone back and I picked it up again. And then all at once, it's got its tentacles tangled all around me and I'm enslaved once again. God, I want freedom for You and I want freedom for me. And I want us to be a church walking in faith and the power of God. And we can experience that this new year if we repent, we ask for forgiveness, and we begin to seek Him and believe what His Word says. Standing on the promises of God, believe what His Word says. Not just believing, I want $1 million, but what lines up with His Word. And what His Word says is that He set us free. Anything we pray according to His will be done. You got a question about His will, look it up. You can't find it, come talk to me. Come talk to an elder. Come talk to somebody that you respect and you know as a man or woman of God and look it up together. Let this year be different. Maybe not something great happening in what's seen, but something great happening in what is unseen in our hearts, in our minds, true deliverance and true freedom. May this be the greatest year we've ever lived for each and every one of us. No service tonight. No service Wednesday. Next week we'll be back on our normal schedule. Y'all have a happy, happy new year. God bless you.